is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Your person of the year, Donald Trump. Also, he opened up the stock exchange today. Big change in the weather for the crews at the fire in Malibu. But first, still seeing fallout from the protests, the violence at UCLA over the past spring.
Yeah, after all that turmoil surrounding the pro-Palestinian encampment, the protests, the violence on UCLA, the university police chief is out. John Barrett is live on the campus with reaction.
Tuesday was his last day. UCLA Police Chief John Thomas either resigned or was terminated. UCLA officials haven't said which. He had taken a lot of heat over the way the pro-Palestinian encampment, the campers and other students were dealt with by police, especially the night the counter-protesters attacked the camp and police waited hours before moving in. A UC Independent report faulted UCLA for failing to protect the students and failing to have plans in place in case protests turned violent. They also faulted UCLA police for failing to take action when that melee broke out. Now, several people in and around the campus told me this morning they think replacing the chief is probably the right move at the right time in light of all that happened.
I think the police should have handled their interaction with the students differently.
Yeah, maybe, what, more peacefully?
Yeah, more peacefully.
Yeah. Do you think this could be a good move for the university to have a new chief?
I think so. Maybe as part of like a rebranding after that.
A fresh start, so to speak. Now, John Thomas told the LA Times months ago that he did everything possible to protect the students and told UCLA leadership they shouldn't allow the encampment to begin with, but was overruled. We have reached out to UCLA for further comment.
All right, John, thanks. In Malibu, the fire. Power's back on in Malibu. That's good. Winds are cooperating. That's good. Still, though, they got a firefight ahead of them. Here's Pete Demetrio.
Almost 2,000 fire personnel are assigned to this blaze, and even though they've protected the vast majority of homes from damage so far, they still have a long way to go to contain this fire. CAL FIRE Deputy Chief Dusty Martin says crews are deep in the mountains and canyons to try to do that work.
We were able to get personnel in and start putting direct line in. We do have 4,000 acres as fire burned at a rapid pace from the start of this. As we look forward in the days to come, I want to ensure that getting the citizens back into their homes is our number one priority. But to do that, we have to make sure that the area is safe before we can let folks back in. Currently, we have 6,300 citizens that are evacuated out of their homes, and I want you to know that our team, our unified command, we are working diligently to get the area secured to be able to get people back into their homes.
And we're set to talk with the mayor in just a few minutes.
Insurance industry observers say a decision by Farmers Insurance to increase the number of new homeowners policies it will issue in California next year is a good sign. And it could lead other insurers to do the same.
It is a subtle shift. Farmers says it will hike the number of new policies issued each month from 7,000 to 9,500.
I'm very relieved.
Amy Bach is executive director of United Policyholders, a nonprofit working to help wildfire victims.
The insurance companies have been on strike in California.
Because the state was unwilling to allow Farmers, State Farm, and others to raise rates. Farmers says for them, that's changed under a new plan brokered by California's insurance commissioner, Ricardo Lara, partially reversing that policy, which Bach believes is a good sign.
But insurance companies typically do have a herd mentality. When one market leader does something, you often see other insurers follow suit.
That is Jeffrey Schaub reporting.
Opening bell, the stock exchange this morning in New York. Who was there ringing it? President-elect Donald Trump, also named today Time Magazine's Person of the Year, spoke right before the start of trading.
I have to say, Time Magazine getting this honor for the second time. I think I like it better this time, actually. Because
family was up there, Melania as well, daughters, and the VP-elect, J.D. Vance. 20 minutes of nonstop news brought to you by Oseron Law, the injured workers hotline. Let's get more on the Franklin fire. 4,000 acres hoping for more containment today now that the weather's cooperating more. Some good news, the power's back on in central parts of Malibu. Let's bring in the mayor now, Malibu Mayor Doug Stewart.
Mayor Stewart, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
So good news that the power is back on, but that begs the question, when do people get to go home?
Well, we actually had a meeting on this last night after the press briefing, and we had CAL FIRE and Lindsay Horvath and Senator Allen, the mayor pro tem, and I and the Sheriff's Department about just what we needed to do to get PCH open. And one thing we want to remind people, we've still got active firefighting efforts or cleanup taking place along PCH. The fire got all the way down to PCH, starting at about Corral Canyon all the way to the other side of Carbon Mesa. So we've got several miles of PCH that the fire department is still actually working on. So we can't open that up yet.
There were some people kind of thinking, okay, maybe it's not today, it's tomorrow morning. Is there a goalpost for that, for bringing people back?
Well, I don't know that there's a goalpost as much as it is a checklist of what's got to be cleared. We've got to get the fire equipment off the road, or they need to be able to work around having the road open. And I think that's on the horizon. As you say, things are getting better. The utility companies have to clean up. There's actually some power lines have been down. I know I talked to Captain C2 with the Lost Hills Station last night. She had to address power lines that were down along Canyon Road on her way to the briefing, not Canyon, Malibu Canyon Road. So it's not clear yet. And hopefully tomorrow might be a better day and we might be able to get some of this open. And I will say one thing. We've got people's livelihoods and lives still at risk here because of this road being closed. People can't get to the pharmacy. We've got, I talked to a physical therapist who's got patients that are lacking the attention that they need, and they're falling behind in their PT schedule from recent surgeries. We've got to get this open as soon as we can.
We are speaking with the mayor of Malibu, Doug Stewart, and every big emergency, we should learn from it going forward. You've been talking about the power shutoffs, that they've been a real issue and, you know, inconvenience problem for residents there that have been impacted. Are you or will you be talking to the companies to make any changes, however subtle, in the future?
Well, let me say this. We learned a lot from the Woolsey fire, and the way this fire has turned out for us is an indication that we took those lessons to heart. But one of the things we didn't have in the Woolsey fire, we didn't have these preemptive power shutoffs that Edison has done. You go back to Woolsey, they didn't shut the power off until the fire arrived. Here, we're turning it off even when there's a chance of a fire. And I understand the need for that. I do. But they need to be more judicious about when and how they turn them off and where, as well as how fast to get them back on. Now, it's highlighted the fact that we don't have cell service because the power goes out, the cell phones go out, the internet goes out, and we've got residents, think of this, sitting in the dark, wondering if the fire is coming their way, and they have no way to find out because everything is turned off. We have poor cell service here in the first place. Then you have no phone, no cell. This is something that's got to get fixed right away.
We're always talking. We're always talking battery radios. You know, the last thing, you gotta get in touch with people, right?
That's right. And KNX has always been a good partner on this, and our local low power FM public radio station, KBUU, is critical. But we just need to get a better infrastructure in place. This looks like a third world country when the power gets turned off, and that's not acceptable, especially in fire weather or an earthquake or some other disaster.
What are you worried about going forward? You know, not just more fires, but we talk so much about people having so much trouble, especially after fires, getting insurance, trying to rebuild, that kind of thing.
Oh, absolutely. And this has fallen on the city, and as well as the county and others, to now we've got to do the hard work, the heavy lifting. We've got the fire nearly out, but we've got people who have got businesses that will fail out of this because they don't have any customers, they can't get to them. I mean, this is going on and on and on. And for a small business, this is hurtful. And we've got to make sure the recovery takes place for our residents and their homes that are damaged. We've got to get the infrastructure repaired. And we've also got to be ready for floods that might come along and mudslides. If it starts raining hard, we've got burned up hills that just turn to mud. We're not out of the woods on this yet.
It's Doug Stewart there, the mayor of Malibu. Mayor, thanks for talking to us this morning.
Some big food companies, again, being accused of creating addictive, ultra-processed foods. And a teenager is now a member of a local city council. Those stories and more coming up as 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
Police talking about how difficult it was to track down that suspected gunman of the United Healthcare CEO. CBS's Anna Schechter says they've found more evidence tying Luigi Mangione to that crime scene.
We heard in the early days about a cell phone that was dropped at the scene of the crime. Well, his fingerprints were found on that cell phone, and that cell phone was wrapped in tin foil. It's a foil-lined bag that helped him evade cell phone pings to a cell phone tower so his cell phone couldn't be tracked while it was on his person.
Governor of New York saying she expects the indictment to be issued from the Manhattan DA's office any day now.
Lawyers say a first-of-its-kind lawsuit has now been filed accusing major food companies of marketing ultra-processed foods to be addictive to children.
Bryce Martinez says consuming the products of companies including Coca-Cola caused him to develop type 2 diabetes, and his lawsuit includes claims for conspiracy and unfair business practices. The lawsuit claims that the food companies use the same cigarette playbook as tobacco giant Philip Morris. There's been increasing evidence that highly processed foods are linked to a wide range of chronic health problems. Allison Keyes, CBS News.
Biden administration announcing the largest single-day grants of clemency in history. CBS's Cammie McCormick.
39 Americans are being pardoned. They were convicted of nonviolent crimes. 1,500 others have had their sentences commuted. They had already been released from prisons during the pandemic and placed on home confinement. President Biden has been under pressure from advocacy groups to issue pardons before Donald Trump takes office. Biden is also weighing issuing preemptive pardons to those who investigated Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election and are now facing possible retribution.
And of course, this comes after the controversial decision when he pardoned his son, Hunter.
An American from Missouri has been found in Syria, not far from Damascus, after being freed from a prison by Islamist fighters. Here's CBS's Elizabeth Palmer with details.
The first we knew of him was in a social media post. Local people claiming he was an American prisoner who'd been locked up in one of the regime's most notorious jails. We found the house about 15 miles south of Damascus, and there was Travis Timmerman from Urbana, Missouri.
Timmerman said he traveled to Syria for spiritual purposes and that his experience in prison, quote, wasn't too bad.
There's a warning for Jewish people planning to go to Australia. This is after a recent terror attack on a synagogue.
The travel advisory for Jewish people going to Australia comes from Rabbi Abraham Cooper of the Simon Wiesenthal Center in Los Angeles. It's based on the government's response to a bombing of a synagogue last Friday.
Someone came and threw a Molotov cocktail inside a synagogue in the community hall where there were people inside.
It happened in the city of Melbourne.
There were two individuals who received burns, and it could have been a lot worse.
Rabbi Cooper feels the Australian authorities are not taking this terror attack seriously enough.
This is not a boycott. This is a matter of understand what the realities are on the ground. Everybody should make their own decisions about if they're going.
The two other places, there are advisories. Jewish people, be on alert if you go to Malmo, Sweden, and Amsterdam. I'm Emily Valdez, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
FBI Director Christopher Wray is resigning at the end of the current administration. The news came just a couple of weeks after the president-elect Donald Trump picked Kash Patel to lead the FBI. We talked about it this morning with CBS News congressional correspondent Scott McFarlane and asked him about their reaction to Wray's announcement on Capitol Hill.
If this really does widen the avenue for Kash Patel to get the job as the next FBI director, until Chris Wray announced his intention to stand down, Democrats have been holding their fire and have not been speaking out against Kash Patel. I expect that to change as the day begins here in Washington. In fact, the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, a Democrat from Virginia named Mark Warner, says he is deeply concerned about the independence of the FBI now. Kash Patel is a Trump loyalist, somebody who pushed those baseless claims of election fraud in 2020. And I think when these confirmation hearings begin next month, I think the word you'll hear more than any is independence. Is Kash Patel truly going to be an independent voice leading the Federal Bureau?
Can he get confirmed, or is this another one of those right-on-the-line kind of things? It depends on what some of these Republicans think. Maybe some of it has to come down to, hey, all those things you said about turning the Hoover Building into a museum for the deep state. Do you actually believe that, or was that just a thing you were saying?
One of his supporters, John Cornyn, the senator from Texas, says he thinks that was hyperbole. He thinks that was hyperbole. We'll find out during confirmation hearings. He'll definitely be asked about that. This is going to be one of the tighter ones. I wouldn't expect any, if many, Democratic supporters for this nominee. So this is going to come down to whether four Republicans break with Trump on this particularly provocative pick. But I mean, you see this happening, too. I mean, all of the attention is getting diluted because there are multiple controversial choices all making the rounds at the same time. You know, Pete Hegseth is still here taking meetings. Tulsi Gabbard, whose former Democratic House colleagues accused her of echoing Putin talking points, is making the rounds, trying to be the next intelligence chair. I mean, there's a beauty to this for the Trump team. They're dividing people's attention and making it harder to mobilize and galvanize opposition to any one person.
I want to talk about Elon Musk for a minute, clearly gaining power and influence in Washington. How are lawmakers there in Congress changing their relationship with him?
Cautiously. Now, this initiative he's spearheading on cutting government waste, it may be a larger scale effort than some people would like to see, especially from a non-government actor. But Vicky, that's a popular political issue. Both parties want a piece of that. They love to cut waste and cut fat. Let's see how far they go, though, with this initiative, and then he'll likely start bleeding some support. But he also showed his political impact this cycle, didn't he? How much he bolstered Donald Trump. You know, these people in Congress, they're going to be on the ballot eventually, too, again. And they want to get crosswise with Elon Musk.
That is CBS News congressional correspondent Scott McFarland.